Pinnacle Farming Limited.
Hey, afternoon.
Good afternoon and welcome. You probably heard me say this to earlier submitters, but thank you for preparing your original written submission, which we've read, so you don't need to trouble yourself to read it out to us, but you're welcome to speak to it and outline key points for us.
Excellent. Yeah, that's what I will do. Thank you. I'm Shane Walker. We farm at Pinnacle Row. That's hence the name of our farm, Pinnacle Farming Company.
Yep.
It's only 8k from the Trout. It's a great place to farm, but obviously, the downside is you can get into town for a pie for lunch, which has some negative impacts on, on my wintering. But it was a collaborative approach with this, two or three neighbours. And obviously, it's a busy time of the year putting the submissions in. So I'm sorry I'm not as polished as the previous speakers, and I haven't got any flash things up there, and I can't remember what parts relate to. As far as quoting numbers, I won't be able
That's
to.
That's right.
Yeah, but I've just highlighted a few key points
yep.
that I just wanted to speak on. I'll try and start on the page and go from there. The farm management plan, I would like to applaud a yes for, I find it a very useful tool. And it was great. We had a young woman come out and did a plan for us free not so long ago, and it's great to get it on paper, and I applaud the Environment Southland for that effect, and I think it's a great useful tool going forward. But we perhaps need some more time for everyone to get one of those plans done, with the possibly lack of consultants and things out there to do it
yeah.
properly. The other point I wanted to make was intensive wintering, and obviously that's been well said, but I do think there is a risk it can drive perverse behaviour by using fodder beet.
Mm-hmm.
As it said, I've used a wee bit of fodder beet in the past, but I'm a man who likes to keep things simple, and I found transitioning cows, unless you have the whole farm in fodder beet, it's quite an issue. But anyway, you definitely increase your stocking units, and there's a lot more damage done to the soils. And certainly, the other issue I have with if we're allowed less winter, we're a self-contained unit. We milk 800 cows on our dairy farm. Just once a day we milk, so it's a little bit different to most. But we're self-contained, so we winter on. Now, if I was restricted to my wintering area, I would. Shipping my problem off to somewhere else by wintering cows off, and I'd probably milk 1,000 cows. So I'd create more stocking rate at home. I'd bring in more feed. So I like having the control of wintering at home, and it means we milk left and our infrastructure can handle it. Whereas if I milk 1,000 cows, we'll be just the impact could be greater. With stocking rates and anything else. What else is there? Oh yeah, the cultivation of the buffer zones and things on slope areas. We had three years ago we identified an area. It was actually Rabobank was one of their meetings, and they had a chap there who spoke about wetlands and the advantages of them capturing around 60% sediment caught and everything. So we identified an area of our farm after that meeting that I realised was that at least 65-70% of the farm drained out for that area, and it was a relatively unproductive area. It was grazing land, but it was a wet area.
Yeah.
So we dammed it and we built a hectare-sized pond, not at inconsiderable cost. It was $25,000 and planted, and it's been a fantastic experience. It's given us a lot of warm fuzzies, and we've got a picnic area now for the kids and native trees and things growing. But it's certainly, I feel perhaps, you know, that there was no... we did it off our own bat, and now that area as I say, drains probably 65% of the farm. So those sloping areas, because we've got parts of our farm that'll be over the 20% figure, but
yeah.
I'm happy to have buffer zones, but the 20 metre thing sounds quite extreme, and I feel if it's all running through my sediment trap, is there some mitigating ways that can be useful? Because certainly I've seen the farm in full flood and brown water just roaring into our pond and out the other end after it's a hectare size, it's just clear water going out the end. So obviously we're capturing that sediment that does run off our farm. So just a little thing there. And as I say, it was a very positive experience to be involved with. And on top of that, and so we identified another area that we'll do in another year or two's time, which will capture another 20-odd% of our farm out through the other side. But you can't do everything at once, because costs become a bit prohibitive. But so that was much of my spoke about speaking also.
Okay.
Any questions here?
We'll see if we do have questions for you.
Okay.
Marsh, we'll start with you this time.
All right, thank you. How have you estimated that 20% of your farm is over 20 degrees?
Well, I did make up a doofler, which showed the gradient, and walked around a wee bit on the farm and sort of then just separated out. But whether I won't be 100% accurate, but I guess what worried me is that just there's only parts of paddocks. And so how are you going to police that how workable is it? I don't know, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you made a comment about applying effluent in the winter time. There has been a proposed change in the Section 42A report, which is a recommendation to us.
Yeah.
That takes out that bit about not being applied in the winter, but you're still only allowed to apply it if the soil moisture conditions are okay and they're not too wet.
Yeah.
So on your place, how would you determine whether or not the soils were dry enough to apply for?
We have got a weather station not far from us, which I do keep an eye on as far as the soil saturation levels. But I guess the issue I have is that, and in strategic use, we've modified our travelling irrigator to get down to sort of 7 mils per. And I can strategically run through dry parts of the paddock that I know of. I found that we have got a 90-day storage pond for our 850 cows. But if you don't get it empty by the end of May, and you have a really wet spring, if you can strategically at least take the pressure off, I mean, it's nothing worse than ever having a pond overflow, but I have had we've certainly had wet Mays where I've struggled to get it empty before I've, shut up for the winter. And it does put us under pressure by the end of calving, that the pond's getting damn near full, and you think you've got a week spare, and then it rains, and so to be able to strategically do it through the winter would allow us.
So if you use the weather station data, is that an Environment South in one?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And use your sort of knowledge of the land as well in combination?
Or? Yes, and we have got rolling paddocks, so we have got plenty of flat land too, and there are certainly areas I know of the farm that the different soil types that could cope with. Mm. With just strategic runs and certainly no overlapping,
Okay. And you also talked about the pond rock test not being practical. Can you think of a better way of doing that then, making sure it's not leaking?
No, I'm sorry. I guess what concerned me about it was that evaporation test and everything else. Lining everything up to get that done over a period of, we get a fair bit of wind where we are on top of Pinnacle Hill there, and I can see some costs and some quite stressful points there. I don't know how we get around that. I'm sorry, I don't know.
All right, thanks very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon. You talk in your submission about talking about cultivation. Sloping ground, you talked about new technology. Do you apply different methodology to cultivation of sloping, steeper slopes?
We've tended to actually use full cultivation, but I have done a bit of spray and pray, and the more I do, the more excited I am about it. But a lot of it was in the conversion process, I mean, we're well past that. We've been down here 15, 16 years now, but just turning the soils over, I felt full cultivation was the only way to get rid of a lot of the thatching and things that we had, and we certainly improved what the farm can grow, but maybe now that we're 15 years on, we need to look at different ways of doing it. Technology, yeah, there's certainly, I mean, we had this, well, it's not tillage side of things, but I guess, you know, EcoN I thought was a fantastic tool. We used to do a whole farm with that and certainly saved a lot of our nitrate leaching, but that tool's been lost to us now. But there is new technologies coming on, and I just, yeah, put that in.
In full context, I couldn't find Pinnacle Road on my computer. Whereabouts exactly are you?
No, okay, well, you head up Wentworth Street, it actually becomes Pinnacle. There's a crossroads, McKinnon Road, down to the new dairy factory. You just go straight across, and that's Pinnacle Road there.
Oh, not far from here.
Yeah, not far from here, no.
Yeah, I think in your submission you suggested a time frame for compliance and things like basis for silage pads and things. I think you mentioned 5 years. Is there some science around that, or is that a figure you put over the year?
I just, you know, it's, you know, people talked about debt levels and things. I mean, we built a silage bunker 4 or 5 years ago, and it was about $55,000 worth. We built it above the pond. We didn't have to. We had a very good silage pit down further, but they had no effluent capture. And I've forever had, it was next, right next to the tanker track, and when the environment itself would come in, they'd see some dead burnt grass, and they'd always say, can't do that. And yet it was still a well away from the waterway, but it annoyed me, and I thought, well, rather than conquer that area, we'll shift it and put it above the pond. But just a little side issue here, I felt, and I thought we were doing the right thing. I had a visit from Environment South not so long ago, and he said, are you consented to catch that leachate from your silage pit? And I said, I hadn't really thought about that. I'm sorry, no, we're not. He said, well, that'll be $1,500 to get a permit to catch your leachate, which is now running the pond, which if I didn't do it, I could have had it running the paddock, and it wouldn't have cost me anything. I was a little bit frustrated as far as you know, building relationships. Don't get me wrong, I've actually had good positive outcomes with Environment South, and they were brilliant with our wetland area. They gave us a lot of good advice. Dave Connors was brilliant. He helped us out a lot. It's just little things like that can be a bit niggly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lloyd?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one comment, really. You've made reference that your farming practices have changed and you've seen things differently. You've made reference to that a number of times. And you felt that the farm management plan was very useful and got a lot of benefit out of it. Do you see that as a place of capturing the historic journey or recording the historic journey of your farm, or is there another way in which that would actually be captured? I'm thinking of Appendix N as being a reference that those farm management plans and environmental plans come in.
Yeah, I certainly like to monitor things. I mean, you can't, once you, it's all real having your things in your head, but certainly if you can have it on paper, and certainly that is a really useful tool, that farm plan. I don't know, what are you saying?
I'm sort of suggesting that as you updated the plan on a 3-year basis, you're actually recording the changes to your farming system as a way of showing a journey of change.
Yes.
And the plan is actually trying to take people on a journey to a place, but in some respects you need to record that. So I'm just suggesting that you've made a lot of comments so that you've changed. Would you see Appendix N as being some way of actually capturing that with reviews going through and recording?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's a real positive out of it. Yeah. There's nothing like sitting down and you know, rereading that document too to see where your journey has gone. And yeah, some real positives out of that. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. I don't have any questions for you, but it sounds like you've been doing some pretty innovative and useful things on your farm, so that's been interesting to hear. And to you and all the submitters, it's really helpful for us to have submitters such as yourself come in and tell us what the proposed rules and the plan mean for you in practical terms, so that's very valuable. So thank you for taking the time to do that.
Thank you. Cheers.